On this episode of Still Loading, it's a twofer. Hey guys, it's Josh, and welcome to the newest episode of Still Loading. On today's episode, we are doing a little bit different, than the previous ones. Today, we are going to be still continuing the 40 for 40 series. This is episode 11 of that, so this is the 11th game, 10th or 11th, I'm not 100% sure. In any case, the game that I was going to cover is Donkey Kong Classics for the original Nintendo Entertainment System. Only problem with that. Not much to talk about. I mean, there's really not a whole lot at all. So the other game we're going to talk about afterwards, I'm still going to cover both, do the due diligence, but I'm also going to cover Double Dragon for the NES. One of my personal favorites, and I figured it was literally just sitting right next to my Donkey Kong Classics box in, you know, alphabetical order, so figured, why not? Let's go ahead and give it a shot. So let's jump into Donkey Kong Classics first. So, as you know, Donkey Kong is one of Nintendo's most popular IPs, whatever you want to call it, franchises. The original game came out in 1981, I want to say. Hold on, does the box even tell me? Well, Donkey Kong Classics came out in 1988. The original one, I believe, was 1981. And then Donkey Kong Classics isn't just the original Donkey Kong game. It also has Donkey Kong Jr., yes, Donkey Kong Jr. So let's just talk about them real quick. I mean, there's not much to say about it. For those, if you're listening to a video game podcast, you better freaking know what the original Donkey Kong game was. The game that pretty much put Nintendo on the map in terms of video games. Of course, a couple others. I mean, they were still working on it, but Donkey Kong was their first, like, gigantic hit and put Shigeru Miyamoto, you know, on the map. He's the one that kind of created it. If you guys want to read a really interesting book about the history of Nintendo, definitely check out Super Mario by Jeff Ryan. Super Mario, How Nintendo Conquered America. I have the book in front of me, actually. I got it signed by him a while ago, a couple of years ago now. I went to a convention, he was there. But it was really good. There was a lot of amazing, like, interesting facts about Nintendo in this book. And I don't know if you can hear me flipping through it, but the one that was interesting about Donkey Kong was that it was originally a different game. What they did was they took an old game, I forget what it's called, but essentially it was going to be side-scrolling, not vertical the way, you know, well, it was going to be a little bit different. Oh my gosh, I'm blanking on it. Hold on, I'm flipping through this right now. I'm so prepared, right? Radar Scope, that's what it was. Radar Scope, and they switched the Radar Scope game to Donkey Kong, which was a risky thing because they would have to take everything that they had worked on with that game, which was not selling in the U.S., and make something on the fly. And that's crazy. Yeah, so they made Donkey Kong. I believe, yeah, it was Radar Scope. Hold on. Yeah, Radar Scope. I could be wrong. Go ahead and correct me. But I'd have to reread the book again, which, by the way, like I said, if you want to get it straight from, like, a lot more interesting information on it, check out that book. I can't recommend it enough. I was engrossed in it. I loved it when I read it about a year ago or so. Definitely give it a read. It's really good. They have a lot of other interesting facts, too. In any case, Donkey Kong was released in arcades and was a huge success. So it makes sense that when the Nintendo Entertainment System took off, that Nintendo would understandably want to port it over there to get, you know, to capitalize more on the success of it. I mean, a lot of people who remembered it back almost, it would have been 7 years ago at that point, but, you know, 7-8 years ago when it came out originally in the U.S., they could get a little bit of, you know, nostalgia money on that. I mean, they're working it now anyway. In any case, with Donkey Kong Classic, so they released not just the original Donkey Kong, but its sequel, Donkey Kong Jr. So, you know, the mechanics are all the same. Well, not Donkey Kong Jr., but in terms of the ports, mechanics are all the same. You know, you play as Jumpman, not Mario, Jumpman. And you jump over barrels, climb up ladders, and you have to rescue the princess at the top of the tower. Simple enough. Graphics are appealing. Controls are still pretty precise. I mean, it was still kind of new at the time, so, like, they're a little floaty. You know what I'm saying? Like, I know other games that, like, the original, like, Super Mario Brothers had come out since this game was released. You know, this is released in 1988. Nintendo Entertainment System came out in, what, 86, 87 in the US? Maybe 85? I don't remember anymore. In any case, so the controls are still a little floaty because of that, because it was an arcade game, but it works. Graphics are appealing. Simple, basic Donkey Kong graphics. I don't know, that's not a new adjective. Whatever. You get the idea. And then Donkey Kong Jr., which I didn't really play a lot of these as a kid, because I think I've said this before, I grew up a little bit past the NES age. I grew up with Super Nintendo, and not even that, I didn't even own one until N64, but that's another story for another day. And or if you want to go back and listen to some of the older episodes, I think I go into it a little bit there too. But in any case, Donkey Kong Jr. was an interesting twist on it, because now instead of Mario or Jumpman, saving the princess from Donkey Kong, you are Donkey Kong's son, Donkey Kong Jr., saving Donkey Kong from Mario, aka Jumpman. So the gameplay was a little bit different. You had to climb up vines instead of climbing up ladders and jumping up like skyscraper beams and stuff like that. You had to hop across islands. It had from what I did play of it, it's much more platforming intensive. But it had some cool mechanics. Like, you could, if you climbed up a vine by your, like, just one vine, you would go pretty slow. But if you went in the middle of the two, then you would shoot up real fast. But that would also put you at risk of hitting some of the items that Mario is dropping to kill you. So you could go up real fast, but, you know, you take that hit. You take that risk. My biggest issue with the game overall is just that it's very hard to control. But if you get used to it, I'm sure it wouldn't be too bad. I didn't get to play a lot of it. Like I said, this is only 20 minutes worth of playing and me trying to figure out what I'm doing with the game. But overall, unfortunately, there's not much more to talk about. I mean, even the box art, which I usually go into, it's just Mario hitting Donkey Kong in the head with him holding his son in his other hand. That's it. There's not much to it. It's very simple. It's very effective, though. I like the art design a lot on it. Just an orange box with Donkey Kong and Donkey Kong Jr. and Mario bopping Donkey Kong on the head. So that's about it for Donkey Kong Classics. I mean, like I said, I know there really wasn't much to talk about with it, but I wanted to do the due diligence, cover it. It was fun for what it's worth, but in any case, let's go into the game that I wanted to talk about, Double Dragon. So Double Dragon was released in, I believe, 1987? You know what? It's not even really telling me on here. In any case, 1988, excuse me. It was originally an arcade game, and they ported it to the NES, and this is one of the more successful ports of games to the NES. Let's talk about the artwork. So the cover of it has two poorly drawn guys with gigantic muscles that are literally bigger than their faces. And then the versions of them underneath, they're nothing like what their cartoon, like what their versions above are. Like, it's horrible. The one guy literally almost looks like Beavis from Beavis, or one of the two, Beavis or Butthead. I can't really tell. I never watched that show when I was a kid. But they're, you know, they're flexing super 80s style. And one guy has one guy has a whip, the other guy has a bloody knife, and then the little thing below is them kicking the crap out of some villains, whatever. And the back of it reads as such, Double Dragon is a story of Billy and Jimmy Lee, twin brothers who learn to fight on the cold, tough streets of the city. Of the city. Okay? Not specifically, just the city. Their expert knowledge of the martial arts has... Their expert knowledge of the martial arts combined with their street smarts has made them both formidable fighting machines. But now, Billy is faced with his greatest challenge. His girlfriend, Marion, has been kidnapped by the block... I don't know if that's right to say. Sorry for the pause there. It says, by the Black Warriors. Okay. I'll just call him Block. We'll just say that. By the Black Warriors. The savage street gang of the mysterious Shadow Boss. Using whatever weapons come to hand. Knives, whips, bats, rocks, oil drums, even dynamite. Billy must pursue the gang through the slums, factories, and wooded outskirts of the city to reach the hideout for his final confrontation. The Shadow Boss. His brother, Jimmy. Now, I don't know why they decided to, you know, give you that spoiler right on the back. That would have been a pretty cool twist, you know, towards the end of the game, but I'm not the one designing it. But yeah, so let's go into the gameplay itself. I talked about the box, read the description on the back. It's a standard beat 'em up, but really, really solid. The controls still feel pretty tight even now. The graphics are really appealing. The music is really good. Really, I mean, if you haven't played this game before, I mean, what are you doing? Just pause this podcast. Don't stop it, because I want you to come back. But pause it. Go play it. I can't recommend it enough. It's a great game. But in any case, beat 'em up style, the gameplay is really fun. All the weapons you use are really fun. You get bats, you get knives, like I just read. My only real complaint with the weapon system is that during some screen transitions, you lose them all of a sudden. They just, like, disappear out of your hand, which would be fine if there was a reason for it, like maybe they broke or something, but they just disappear. They're in your hand 1 minute and just gone the next. Don't quite get that. Some of the other weapons you can get, dynamite, knives. I felt really dumb. I didn't really know, like, I figured what it was. I saw it, like, flash. I'm like, oh, that's going to explode. I didn't think about picking it back up and throwing it at the enemy. I just kind of left it be there and tried to lure enemies into it. And then when I watched the playthrough afterwards, you know, see the stuff that I missed that I couldn't get to, I saw that. I'm like, ah, I could have just picked it up, threw it right at the enemy. That would have been a lot better than what I was doing. I'm a big dummy. But, standard beat 'em up. But what always intrigued me about Double Dragon, more than other beat 'em ups, is that they had platforming elements into it. And it's not always the best, because platforming in Double Dragon is, you have to hit A and B to jump. It's not like Mario, where you would hit A to jump or something like that. You have to hit A and B. And while it works, it's still kind of annoying, because you have to... It's not quite as tight. Like, it's not quite as tight controls as just hitting A. You have to really make a conscious effort, and it makes it a little awkward to hit both the buttons, especially because sometimes you'll be doing a jump kick instead of just a regular jump, and vice versa. And the platforming segments are really strange. Some of them are pretty straightforward. Some of them are really... I don't know. Like I said, the controls aren't very tight because you have to hit A and B at the same time, so it makes the platforming sections that much more awkward. One of the first ones I noticed is in probably the halfway through mission 3 is where the platforming segments really start to pick up. Suddenly you have to jump on platform, like these moving silver platforms, dodge stalactites. Dodge stalactites, and you have moving silver platforms. There's another section, I believe early on in mission 4, where the wall tries to push you off the ledge. So you have to get the timing of the wall blocks that push out right, so that way you can pass without getting pushed off. That's not really so much platforming as it is timing, but it is kind of strange that, like, something that's focused solely on beat 'em up stuff for two and a half missions all of a sudden decides, hey, let's make the player use a skill they have not been taught yet. Not the smartest example of game design, in my opinion, but they're not very long segments, and you can generally get through it pretty quickly. I mean, only thing that it sucks is that if you're bad at platforming, then it's going to be even worse, because then you have that going against you, as well as the wonky controls. And on top of that, there's no continues. Once you lose all your lives, it's back to the beginning, and you have to do it all over again. overall, I would say Double Dragon is a pretty solid game. Definitely recommend playing it if you have not. Definitely check out the music from it. It's amazing. It's, I mean, kind of repetitive, but like the main theme is really catchy. That something like that. Definitely give it a listen on the old YouTube or something along those lines. Yeah, so that pretty much wraps it up for this episode. Hopefully it was somewhat interesting. Decided to cover two games. I'm hoping to get a guest again sometime soon. I know I've been doing these solos for a little bit, and they're going better than I thought, or than I thought they would have. I'm finding it easier to just kind of dialogue with myself with this, but I still enjoy having a conversation with someone instead of just speaking into a microphone. I like actually talking to the people, or talking to other gamers who enjoy this the same things as we all do. So, in any case, thank you all for listening. As usual, you can follow me on social media at StillLoadingPod on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. You can, you know, find a number of different things on there. A lot of my, I take pictures of my game collection a lot. You'll see those pictures on Twitter and Facebook as well after they're posted on Instagram. Fun thing that I did somewhat recently, just as a kind of parting note, I guess, got to play Super Mario Kart up on a drive-in movie screen this past weekend, and it was amazing. I've never seen anything like that before. It was a lot of fun. There wasn't a lot of people there, unfortunately, because it was pouring outside. It was raining like crazy, but definitely worth risking the rain. I mean, there was tents and stuff, but it was still pretty wet. Definitely worth getting a little wet to be able to play Super Mario Kart up on a drive-in movie screen. It was awesome. But yeah, so thank you once again for listening, and I will see you next week. Sorry, not next week. See you for the next episode.